every now and then when history moves in a big way, we are actually aware of the change at the moment it's happening. Like, for instance, right now.
The country is just sort of generally struggling with the closeness of this race.
An election so tight one day couldn't contain it.
This week, we were each an historical agent and fully aware of the stakes. And even more unsettling, our uncertainty about which direction history had moved was extended into the 11th hour and then beyond.
Put on another cup of coffee. This race is far from over. We may all be in the waiting room for quite a while yet.
We didn't see a Republican landslide, not like in 1940.
We in America should have no reason to fear. With adequate leadership, we can be the strongest and the most influential nation in the world.
Back then, a boyish American hero, Charles Lindbergh, was nominated by the Republicans and beat Franklin Roosevelt, then immediately signed preemptive peace treaties with Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. Of course, this history of the 1940 election is pure fiction, a fiction created by Philip Roth as the premise of his new novel, The Plot Against America.
I was reading Arthur Schlesinger's autobiography. He mentioned that there were Republicans who wanted to run Lindbergh for president. And so in the margin, I wrote, what if they had?
Today, we'll be talking about our fascination with those creative what-ifs, about how novelists and filmmakers and artists play with what might have happened if history had just taken a slightly different fork in the road. We'll hear a lot more from Philip Roth later in the show, but joining me now is the film director Errol Morris. His documentaries, like The Thin Blue Line and Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, are all about exploring ambiguities in how we perceive and interpret the truth, each in our own ways. Morris won the Academy Award this year for The Fog of War, his documentary that tells the story of the American war in Vietnam through the eyes of one of its architects, the former Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. Errol Morris, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks for having me aboard.
Your earlier movies were about offbeat eccentrics who weren't very famous. Your latest movie, Fog of War, is, by contrast, about a great figure in history and member of the establishment, Robert McNamara. How did that come to be?
He interested me. Although I kept asking myself, here's a man who has been literally interviewed by thousands, if not tens of thousands, of journalists. What do you hope to hear that other people haven't heard? And I'm pleased to say I heard surprising things and things that he had never said to any other journalist.
What was the most?
Maybe I'm lucky.
No. Well, you, as I understand it, you kept at it for many, 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 many hours, which many journalists don't have the patience, discipline, or luxury to do.
Well, my wife once said that possibly what makes me a good interviewer and a good detective is that I'm a good nag.
What was the most surprising thing to you that McNamara said when you were talking to him?
Within the first 20 minutes of our first interview, he started talking about the firebombing of Japan, the fact that he was involved with Curtis LeMay in the firebombing of Tokyo and in 66 Japanese cities following. An amazing story, because we like to think of Hiroshima and Nagasaki as being those two examples of how the war had reached this zenith of destruction. It's almost lost to history that, in fact, more than a million people died in the firebombing of Japan, which preceded the use of atomic weapons. McNamara started talking about it and out of nowhere mentioned the possibility that he and LeMay might have been war criminals in connection with this firebombing.
I don't fault Truman for dropping the nuclear bomb. The U.S.-Japanese War was one of the most brutal wars in all of human history. Kamikaze pilots, suicide, unbelievable. What one can criticize is that the human race prior to that time and today has not really grappled with what are, I'll call it, the rules of war. Was there a rule then that said you shouldn't bomb, shouldn't kill, shouldn't burn to death 100,000 civilians in a night? LeMay said if we'd lost the war, we'd all have been prosecuted as war criminals. And I think he's right. He, and I'd say I, were behaving as war criminals.
That is some unflinching candor about oneself.
Yeah, it's... He says if our side had lost, he and LeMay would most certainly be war criminals. But what makes it a war crime if you lose, but not a war crime if you win?
Which is a great question for our discussion today, since, as you say, the truth as it is in the world is that that was a great just war that we needed to win and won by various means, some of them hideous, like the firebombing of Japan. But because that firebombing and the firebombing of Dresden in Germany doesn't fit the script as it's been written, it gets sort of erased or at least shoved to the footnotes.
Well, I have a theme that I developed in quite a number of my movies, principally The Thin Blue Line. It's not that truth is unknowable. Truth is knowable. It's simply that we have a vested interest in not knowing it. We'll go to enormous lengths to avoid the truth, or to reimagine the world, if you like, in a way at variance with the truth. And history seems very much that kind of struggle, a struggle between what actually happened and what we imagined happened.